At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. About 100 protesters demonstrated outside the office of Texas Senator John Cornyn in Houston yesterday. Organizers from United We Dream Houston want an extension to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Yesterday was the Trump administration's deadline for DACA renewal applications. Daniel Candelario spoke to Houston Public Media.
We don't want this Dream Act to become, to be playing politics with it, and people want to attach any border enforcement. We don't want that. We don't want to criminalize our undocumented community further. I don't want to criminalize my mom. And we're fighting so hard because this is our home. It's our home of our families and our communities. And we're going to fight with all we can to make to keep it so.
DACA allows certain undocumented immigrants who were children when they were brought to the U.S. to remain in the country and be eligible for work permits. The Texas Attorney General is already awaiting trial on securities fraud charges. Now comes word the Kaufman County DA is investigating Ken Paxton for bribery. It issues a $100,000 donation to Paxton's legal defense fund from an executive who recently settled a Medicare fraud suit with the state. His spokesman told the Dallas Morning News Paxton's team has fully cooperated with the investigation. Paxton has pleaded not guilty to the securities fraud charges. Kevin Simmons is an economist with an unusual specialty, disasters. He's a professor at Austin College in Sherman, and after the wave of recent hurricanes, he sat down for a Friday conversation with KERA's Rick Holter. They talked about what cities, states, and nations can do to prepare for a disaster like Harvey.
What are the lessons that Houston and Texas should take away from this?
We need to be better at anticipating these events, even though they don't happen on a daily, weekly, monthly, even annual basis. We know they're going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be thinking long term and trying to prepare our infrastructure, our homes, our use of land so that we minimize the impact when they do occur.
And yet in Houston, this was the third major flood in 3 years. Is that the new normal? And if it is, how do building codes and development rules and even zoning have to change?
When you have more development, you make any storm more likely to create flooding because you're covering up the ground that would normally drain the water.
So water runs off.
So water runs off
instead of into soil.
Exactly. But then when you also use land that is in vulnerable areas, then you're almost guaranteeing that when you do get the eventual storm, your impact's going to grow. Now, you also need to take into consideration, because there's a lot of talk about, is this climate change and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But you don't really even need to talk about climate change to see why the cost of these storms is getting so expensive. You've got so many people that are moving into the Houston area that when you do have an event, there's just more stuff and houses there to be damaged and be destroyed. So the costs are going to go up.
So what do you say to the people who live in those neighborhoods like Meyerland and a couple of those that have been flooded? They've had to rebuild twice already.
Right.
And they're looking at a third time now.
If I was living there, it would be difficult to make the decision to rebuild, particularly for those who made the choice not to get flood insurance. Mm-hmm. The penetration of flood insurance in Harris County is only about 15%. Mm-hmm. So when you consider the people that don't have the financial backup to recover from this, it becomes a very expensive proposition. The bigger question is, are there areas where we just need to buy out the homes and say, we're not going to build there anymore? This has happened before, and we just need to make decisions, difficult decisions, about using land that may not be appropriate for use in residential, given the risks that they face.
It's interesting because Florida, after Hurricane Andrew in 92, came up with some much stronger building codes.
Yes.
How did those codes play out in the way that state reacted to Irma?
We looked at the 10 years after the enactment of the Florida Building Code. Now, that did include 7 landfalling hurricanes in Florida. What we found was that the building codes reduced damage by up to 72% when you consider the direct damage reduction versus those that are on the periphery that didn't even file a claim, whereas older homes were filing a claim. That gives you a benefit to cost ratio of $6 in reduced damage for every dollar spent in increased construction costs. So the Florida Building Code was a very wise move on the part of the state of Florida.
We've done a lot of reporting on the tornadoes that hit Garland and Rowlett east of Dallas over Christmas weekend a year and a half ago. What kind of long-term economic impact does that have on an area?
As we expand, it just makes the likelihood higher that when one of these storms comes through North Texas, it's going to be traveling across populated areas instead of out in a pasture in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
There was a study done by University of Florida on the Garland tornado path, and what they found was that the homes that were in what they call the vortex core, in other words, the center line of the tornado,
right. It
didn't matter if it was a new home or if it was an older home, the damage was still about the same, which basically meant that the roof was being ripped off the houses, and once the roof gets ripped off the houses, the exterior walls fail, and you have all kinds of damage. We need to look at our building codes such that we can design codes that will ensure that at a minimum we keep the structure intact for all but the most severe storms. Now, if an EF5 hits your house as a direct hit and you get EF5 winds, there's not a building code anywhere in the United States that's going to save that house.
Right.
But we can protect for a good percentage of the exposure that we have, even here in North Texas.
Kevin Simmons, disaster economist at Austin College, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Coming up on the BBC NewsHour, this year's Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. Also, the police chief of the Spanish region of Catalonia appears in court accused of inciting rebellion, and a discussion about the threat to the world's donkey population. That's coming up at 9 on BBC NewsHour. In the forecast, mostly sunny skies, high near 89, 72 now in Dallas, 71 in Fort Worth at 8:30.